This is Brian Gale from In His Sign Network, and our show is Our Recourse. It's a one-hour live radio show with call-in. It's named in honor of Our Lady's favorite prayer, as she told St. Catherine Laboureux. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. So that's why the show is named Our Recourse. It is brought to you by the Knights of the Immaculate, St. Maximilian Kolbe's movement of consecrated souls to the Immaculate Heart of Mary to bring about the triumph of her Son and his most sacred heart. St. Maximilian Kolbe started this movement 100 years ago. Next year, I think it's interesting and noteworthy that it's the same year as Our Lady of Fatima. We are very optimistic that great things will happen next year as a consequence.
For all of that. Welcome to our rehearsal. Anyway, let me introduce you to a wonderful guest that we have today by the name of Jacinta Florence. Jacinta was born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She has a background in the legal field. She's worked for judges and criminal defense attorneys. Interestingly, she also has a background in fashion, and she spent the first year of her college career at the Art Institute of Portland, Oregon. Jacinta, I'm going to want to talk to you about that because I have a brother that's been in Portland, Oregon for about 25 years now. She is a magna cum laude graduate from St. Gregory University, with a bachelor's degree in social science. She's a young lady that loves to travel and is looking forward to traveling to Rome, as I understand it, this fall, when Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta will be canonized. Jacinta is the director of the High School Outreach for Gen Life, and she is a wonderful young lady with a very, very special work of God, ministering and evangelizing to the Gen X and the Millennials. And we welcome you, Jacinta. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Gen Life and what your work is, what your mission is, and some of the things that you're currently involved in.
Sure. All right. So for those of you who are familiar, Generation Life is local. It's here in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and we've been around for about 16 years. So Generation Life has been around since 2001. Our founder is Mike McMonagle, and our first educator was Kim Savage. Now, what Generation Life does is we are a movement of young people committed to building a culture of life by spreading the pro-life and chastity messages to other young people. So we're young people speaking to young people about chastity education, pro-life education. And we do that in CCD classes, in classrooms, in grade schools and high schools, and colleges and young adult groups.
Well,
they are a two-pronged effort of education and activism. So we are educators, but we're also active as well as we spend time praying every week in front of Planned Parenthood in an effort to end abortions. We're a silent, prayerful presence there, and we also do the March for Life annually as well.
Well, you mentioned Michael McMonagle. He's one of our Knights of the Immaculate, outstanding pro-life leader in this archdiocese for so many years, a heroic, courageous man. He and Seal and the wonderful family, I think they have five children, absolutely terrific people. And actually, it was Michael that suggested that I call you and ask you to appear on this show.
Right.
So I know Kim Savage as well. She's a great lady. I know that this organization just does wonderful work. You talk about being educational and activists as well, both simultaneously. Talk a little bit about the educational dimension of your work.
Sure. So our early founders, being Mike McMonagle and a few others, realized that they wanted to get into the pro-life movement, and the goal was really to end abortion. But they realized that in order to be effective in ending abortion, that chastity is the solution to ending abortion at the root cause. So that's where our education aspect comes in. So for our middle school kids, we will give a two-series talk. We'll give a pro-life talk, and we come from an angle of showing the beauty of human dignity and the beauty of life, and also a bit more information about, like, about the beginning stages of life from the moment of conception to birth, and we go through that. Now, with the chastity talk, that's educational as well, and we like to come from a scientific standpoint as far as our bodies being made for a forever love as well, to have science back us up as well as the faith too. So those are our two talks for middle schools, and the main purpose of what we do. And then for high schools, we do a little bit more. We throw a theology of the body talk in for our juniors, and then for our seniors, we have a media talk, just because we are living in a digital age where everything's readily available, and we've got our smartphones and our iPads, so we've got a talk that really highlights the importance of finding beauty in the culture, but also being aware of what's out there and protecting yourself from stumbling across anything that you could possibly see or get involved with that wouldn't be beneficial to your soul. And we all know what that is. It's things like pornography, which are prevalent in our age. So we recommend that parents put a, you know, Covenant Eyes or Net Nanny or a block on their children's, on their teens' phones or on their computers to protect them from slipping into those addictions, which are unfortunately a reality in this day and age. So that's more so of the educational aspect of what we do.
Well, you know, they say that the key to evangelization is to meet the other soul or souls where they are. Where do you find these, let's talk middle school first, where do you find these children, where are they, so to speak, and how do you meet them where they are when you're in the classroom in front of them?
So it varies children to children. I find that speaking in Philadelphia differs a lot from speaking in New York and in the Bronx. I find so more so that the girls in the Bronx are a little bit more expressive than the students in Philadelphia seem to be a little bit more reserved. That's just been my small, what I've gathered. But I find, though, that these girls are hungering for somebody to tell them that they're beautiful and loved, and they're hungering to hear this message of their worth and their value. And then also the young fellas in the crowd are also looking for a role model. They're looking for somebody to look up to. That's really where they hunger for authenticity, and where they hunger for greatness is by seeing examples of greatness. And that could come from one of our male educators going into the classrooms and telling them, you know what, this is what a true man looks like, and you're called to greatness. So both the male and females are hungering for this message. And we're blessed that we get to go in there and tell them just how worthy they are and beautiful and loved they are and how much they are called to greatness, because it's not something that they're hearing so much. Maybe they are hearing it at home, and that's great, but they need to be hearing it from other sources too as well.
You know, I'm just flabbergasted that you're able to get in these middle schools. How do you, they're non-Catholic, right? How do you get in them?
No, so we speak in Catholic schools primarily.
I see. So middle schools are what, grades 7, 8, and 9?
7 through 7th and 8th, and then freshman to high school, or freshman to senior.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the reaction when you deliver that message that you're created in the image and likeness of God, and that God loves you and has infinite mercy for you?
Right. Sometimes there will be a few people in the crowd, usually we separate the guys and the girls depending on the topic. So if it's a pro-life talk, they will be together. But if it's a chastity talk, we'll separate the girls and the guys. And whenever I'm talking to the girls, I notice there's you know, a few of them, if not more, in the crowd who you could just tell are, like, soaking this message up like a sponge. And it's kind of funny because one time I was at a talk in Delaware, and this group of girls was, like, kind of whispering back and forth the whole time that I was talking. So I didn't think they were paying attention whatsoever. But by the end of the talk, they were just like, this is amazing. Can you come back? And they were like, you're going to be such a great mom one day. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, thank you. But to see that they were talking the whole time and I thought they weren't paying attention, it just communicates how much this message is affecting people, and it is affecting the kids.
All right, we're talking with Jacinta Florence, who is the Director of High School Outreach for Gen Life. The call-in number for those of you who have questions for Jacinta is 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484 if you have questions for Jacinta Florence from Gen Life. Jacinta, I have to ask you, your mother obviously had a great devotion to Our Lady of Fatima to name you Jacinta.
Right.
Are you the oldest of a large family?
Okay, so I am the youngest of five. So I have two older brothers and two older sisters, and I'm the youngest.
What did your mother tell you about why she named you Jacinta?
She always told me that, so I grew up hearing about the story of Our Lady of Fatima, and honestly, whenever I was a young girl, it kind of scared me because of the 3 days of darkness and all that. But she loved, my mom loved Our Lady. My parents consecrated us to the Blessed Mother whenever I was a little girl, so all of my siblings, they consecrated to the Blessed Mother, so I was blessed to have that. But my mother just loved Our Lady of Fatima, and they loved that whole story with Jacinta and Francisco and Lucia seeing the Blessed Mother and everything that stemmed from that, the miracles and the conversions that have happened with that. So my mom just fell in love with the name, and I guess when she saw me, she knew that's what I needed to be named.
Do you ever get questions when you're standing in front of a classroom of kids about your first name?
Surprisingly, no. Surprisingly, no. It's more of the older people that recognize where the name comes from.
Mm-hmm. What are the high schools that you've been in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia?
Right. Okay. So in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we've been in Lansdale Catholic High School recently, Callahan, John Paul II, Bonner Prendy within the last 2 years. We've been in Mary and Mercy. I spoke to a group of girls in their Women for Life and Love group. And where else have we been? Devon Prep. Let's see.
Are you able
Burke
to
Catholic
get
in Harrisburg?
Are you able to get to speak to the entire class or school, or only pro-life groups within these schools?
So sometimes it'll be the pro-life group, like with Mary and Mercy, we spoke to the pro-life group there. And then other times we'll do an all-school assembly, like we did at Devon Prep. We gave an all-school assembly just because of it worked out better that way. And then other schools we like to go in and teach in the classrooms, and that's where we do our four-part series. Our four-part series is the freshmen get the chastity talk, and then sophomores will get a pro-life talk, juniors will get the theology of the body talk, and then seniors get the media talk. And we find that the message is better received when we're in an intimate setting. So that's when we go to high schools, that's our preferred method, is to bring a whole team to the high school and spread out and team teach in the different classrooms.
Now, are you allowed just to go in one day, one small group and out, or are you able to take the message across the entire school?
Usually we're able to reach the whole student body.
All right, so you're there for a while, obviously, right?
Right. So sometimes it's 2 days, sometimes we can do it in one, depending on how big the school is.
Tell me about Jacinta, about the senior talk on media. What's the content there?
Sure. So the senior talk on media, basically, it consists of a multimedia presentation where we actually start off with a quote by Pope Benedict, where he says, "The beauty is the profound desire to know, to love, to reach for the other, and to reach for the beyond." So we like to kind of start our talk out that way to help our students realize that there is good in the world and it's worth seeing, and that beauty is a powerful thing and it can be used for good. So to seek out beauty in the culture. So we bring about that aspect, but then we also like to talk to them about being aware of what's in the media and the normalization with some of the TV shows, normalizing immoral behavior on some of the popular television shows like The Bachelor and, you know, reality shows, and to be aware that that's what we put in. So a way that we live chastity is by purity in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. And what we put in, what kind of media we ingest, and it affects our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So to be aware that what we put in is what's going to come out. And that's really the message that we're trying to get across with the media talk. So chastity is the underlying message to all of these talks. And in order to be chaste, we need to be aware of what we're watching, what we're surrounding ourselves with. And then we like to go through, we pick lyrics from like from popular songs that are on the radio. So this past year, it was a hit song was The Weeknd, The Hills by The Weeknd. And I was surprised that a lot of kids knew that song. And it was very popular and it had a catchy beat, but the meaning behind the song was very lustful. So we dissected that song so that the kids can see this is really the message that they're being sent, even though the beat is catchy and things like that. So we try to help them to be an informed consumer. So that's pretty much what our media talk is all about and the message that we're sending in that talk.
How do the kids respond to that message, particularly, well, all four of the grades, from freshman all the way to senior, when they hear that some of these songs that they've memorized and danced to and know quite well really have a very demonic fury or dimension to them? How do they respond when they hear you saying that?
Well, it's kind of funny that you ask that, because whenever last year we spoke to about 900 eighth graders in the Bronx, and I put this song up on a PowerPoint, the one I was just telling you about, The Hills. It's called The Hills by The Weeknd, and a lot of the kids were singing along to that song, so they already knew the words. And then when I was asking them, is this the kind of love they want, everybody in the crowd said no. So I think they know that that's not really what they want. So I think that when we do this, it gets them to think, and they are surprised, because I remember being their age too and singing along to songs and having no idea what they said. So having somebody come in and tell them, well, hey, let's think about what we're really listening to. I think that they appreciate that.
You know, I'm not very conversant on the music business today, but I must ask, are there good songs? Are there songs with good lyrics that talk about...
Oh, yeah. And that's the flip side. We don't like to just share the negative. We also share lyrics from songs that are positive. So our counter set of lyrics was actually a popular song called Cheerleader by Omi. And the lyrics say, she gives me love and affection. Baby, did I mention, you're the only girl for me. No, I don't need a next one. Mama loves you too. She thinks I made the right selection. Now all that's left for me to do is just for me to pop the question. So that is like a breath of fresh air compared to the lustful set of lyrics. So we try and end on a positive note and say, hey, you can find songs with positive lyrics out there that are proclaiming truth, goodness, and beauty. You just have to seek out these gems, because they are out there.
My guess is the most important influence on these kids is the peer pressure and environment that they're in, and what their friends like and what their friends do is pretty much going to influence what they like and what they do. Am I right about that?
You are right. So that's why we try and bring in positive peer pressure. And that's why a big part of our mission is younger people speaking to other young people so they can see, hey, this person's coming in here. She's halfway normal. No, I'm kidding. She seems pretty normal, and she's living this out. Like, maybe I should find friends that are living this out my age, too. But like you said, the peer pressure, I think that's, you're probably right in that that's pretty heavy with some of the kids. So it is difficult. And in order to live this message out, you do need people who are right there with you and who are going to help bring you to virtue, because you can't do it on your own. So, but it is possible.
Well, I would think that for you to be successful, you'd have to be, your message would have to be reinforced by not just the teacher, but the teachers, plural, in the school and the administration. And of course, it all begins and ends in the home. Is that right?
That's right.
Do you have a sense when you're going to these schools that that's happening, that the message that you're delivering is heard in the home, and that it's also echoed in the voice of the teachers and the administrators in the school?
I'm not so sure about in the home. I hope about in the home, but I do know that if teachers are having us in, it's because this is what they're telling to their kids, telling their students as well. And I've heard a lot of teachers say, thank you for coming in, because this just reinforces what I've been trying to tell them all year. Mm. And by the kids seeing somebody, an outside source, come in and reaffirm what the teacher is saying all year, it's more of a persuasion that this is the truth.
Now, I'm not asking,
it's not just Mr. So-and-so telling me this all year.
All right, I'm not going to ask you for particulars, but I have to ask, are there Catholic schools, middle schools, high schools here in the Archdiocese that say no when you call and ask if you can come in?
Oh, yes, yes.
Are you ever
it's
given a reason?
Easy in. Whether they just don't have it in their budget to pay us, which we run by donations, so that shouldn't be a problem, or they would rather not bring a speaker in. Usually we aren't sure what the case may be, but we would like to be in every school if that's possible. So that's really our goal with Generation Life, is to spread these messages of life and love anywhere we can. And that starts in our home base in Philadelphia. We're Philadelphia based, but then we go out from Philly. So this is our number one priority, is Philadelphia.
Well, let me ask this then. Give me a rough ratio of schools that will invite you in versus schools that will say no to you, don't want you to come in. Is it 1-to-1? Is it one that'll have you for every two that say no? I mean, give me a sense of what kind of resistance you're facing.
Well, as far as the resistance, so I'd say there's 33 high schools in Philadelphia, roughly, Catholic high schools, mm-hmm. private and diocesan together. Mm-hmm. I would say we're probably in about, I don't know, like 30% of those, which isn't
wow.
as much as we want to be. So you do the math there. Some people we don't hear back from, and some people we just don't, flat out, it's a no, because they're working with other groups, which is great. There's other groups out there like the Culture Project. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're pretty new, and they're 2 years old, and they do what we do. So there's that comes into play. So it's not that they're not having us in. It's maybe they have them in too, which is great, because this message is getting into the school as well. So it's better to have one or the other than no group at all. Or hopefully they are teaching this to their students in their own way.
Now, when you're standing in front of these kids in school, are they listening intently, or are they on iPhones, laptops, whatever? Are they distracted? Are they able to maintain a span of attention to absorb the message?
Right. Usually they're listening intently. Usually I've never had it where they're on their phones or they're on their laptops. That's always prohibited. So they're usually listening pretty intently to the message.
What kind of questions do you get from these kids, and how does it differ as you go up the line from freshmen to seniors?
Sure. So I've had questions as far as, is it too late to start over? That's the most common question. Or we hand out purity cards at the end of our talk. You know what a purity card is, right? It's where you sign it and date it. And it says, I choose to live out chastity in my thoughts, words, and actions, and saving all sexually intimate acts for the gift of marriage for the sake of my future spouse. So we hand those out, and a girl asked me one time, and this was eighth grade, she says, what if I sign the card, but then I mess up? And I'm like, well, you can always go to confession. We hope that doesn't happen. There's confession, and God's mercy is abundant. And you can sign the card again, but let's hope that we don't make that choice, because as the paradox goes, we're free to make choices, but we're not free from the consequences of those choices.
You know,
and we're not standing there just preaching at these kids, because a lot of us have colorful backgrounds where we've been in the culture, and we can really testify that you don't find true happiness in the culture, and that we've been liberated by this message.
I know.
So that's where the power of the message comes in.
They talk an awful lot about the peer pressure on girls, that they won't be popular with boys or with girls unless they're prepared to make the ultimate, sacrifice, I guess you'd have to say, to the boys' whim or interest. Do you find girls opening up about that and the pressure that's on them to say yes instead of no?
No, I haven't had, actually, I was at a high school in Philadelphia, North Philadelphia once, and I was giving a talk to seniors, and I showed the first set of lyrics that I talked to you about where the relationship was lustful, and then I showed the next set of lyrics, and one girl, she says, the set of lyrics, she's like, that second set, which was talking about him being faithful and that girl being the only girl, she's like, that's what it seems like when a guy first starts dating you, and then the first set, whenever he's like lustful and using you, she says, that's what it seems like after he gets comfortable with you. And I was like, oh no.
That's hard.
So those
it's
were
hard
her
to hear.
On dating and relationships.
Well, you know, that
what
shows
she's
that
experienced as a senior in high school.
The boys have to be taught very, very carefully as well, do they not? I mean, if they're going to be the ones that the girls make the decision, of course, but the boys have to be taught the value of chastity. And I guess given everything that happens in the culture, all the impulses, all the stimuli that they receive, that's harder today than ever before, is it not?
Yes, I'm sure it's harder than when I was in high school. Yeah, absolutely. There's more pressure to fit in, and there's everything is readily available. And it's just all around us. It's in the shows that we watch on TV. It's in the music we listen to. And Jesus isn't always viewed as something that is cool. And a lot of people think that if they are to follow him, that they'll become repressed or less themselves, and they'll lose their identity. So, of course, living the authentic Christian side of life, if you haven't seen that in your own family or around you, that concept would seem a little bit foreign and a little bit scary. So maybe that's why kids are choosing to go with the flow.
Jacinta, will you stay with us on the next half hour? We're going to have to break for a commercial right now, but we'd love to follow up and talk a little bit more about this fascinating work that you're doing, this
Absolutely.
Very, very important work.
Yes.
And now a word from our sponsor, as they say, In His Sign Network.
I'm Dr. Carol Houghton, Chancellor in the Diocese of Harrisburg. I've been listening to What the World Needs Now with Kathleen McCarthy for about 6 months. The shows that speak especially to me are those where Kathleen either teaches from Scripture, or shares her own personal story. When Kathleen teaches from Scripture, I feel like I am on a retreat with her, and I come away from the radio show refreshed and renewed. When Kathleen shares her own story of how God has worked in her life, it gives all of us hope that He can do the same kind of work in our lives. God is present with us. He lives within us, and He loves us unconditionally. That's the message that Kathleen announces every day. And for this ministry, for her yes to God, I am forever grateful.
Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hi, we're back with Jacinta Florence from Gen Life. This is Brian Gale. Our Recourse is the name of the program on In His Sign Network, brought to you by the Knights of the Immaculate. As I mentioned at the head end, St. Maximilian Kolbe had a vision as he was watching the Freemasons parade through the streets of Rome about 100 years ago, that the locus of evil, as he put it, in modern times is Freemasonry. And he said, these times are dominated by evil, but much more so the end of this period. And that would be now, of course. And we don't hear much about Freemasonry, but we have to remember that St. Maximilian Kolbe saw it as a hydra-headed monster that would morph into every kind and conceivable way of demonic activity. All the isms, you know, the communism, the socialism, the atheism, the relativism, the scientism, and all these other isms. Today that we recognize very, very vaguely only, if at all. And he understood that the antidote to that was to start a movement that would involve the Immaculate, and it was because, as he put it, she alone had the relationship with each member, the unique relationship with each member of the Trinity. She was daughter to the Father, she was mother to the Son, and spouse to the Holy Spirit. And he said the only way we're going to counter the evil, the great evil of Freemasonry, the demonic fury that it unleashes on man in this period of age, an age of man, is by invoking the Blessed Mother's intercession, because she is the means by which the victory will be secured for her Son. And so today we have 3 million Knights of the Immaculate, men and women, in some 50 states. We have almost 1,000 here in the Mid-Atlantic region. We are not an organization. We don't have dues and newsletters and things like that, meetings, but we do work with each other and collaborate. Many of our men are leaders in the pro-life movement, like Pat Stanton, father before him, John Stanton, Mike McMonagle, Ted May, and people like that. We have many, many others that are running apostolates and active in their parish life and community life in so ever many ways. So it is a great, great movement of men consecrated to the Immaculate, women as well. And if you have any questions about the Knights of the Immaculate as a movement, please call 610-527-2906. Ask for me, Brian Gale. I'll be happy to give you more information. And now we're back with Jacinta Florence, a young lady from Tulsa, Oklahoma, by way of Portland, Oregon, who has found her niche at this stage of her life, standing in front of kids in our Catholic schools and really evangelizing them on the fact, the reality, they're created in the image and likeness of God, and that God does certain things, and therefore we should do certain things, and he avoids other things, and we should avoid those things. Not an easy message to deliver at any age, and certainly not to young people in this age. So, Jacinta, we're just very delighted to have you, and
thank you.
We commend you for this wonderful work. How many people are involved in Gen Life today?
Right. So there's just a handful of us, so we're pretty small. We have our Director of Operations, Mary Boyce, from Malvern, Pennsylvania, and then we have our token male speaker, Zachary DeVoe, and then we have Caitlin Diadamo from Northeast Philadelphia, and then there's just myself. So there's four of us.
Wow. How do you cover the waterfront with just the four of you being able to go out and give these talks?
Right. Well, we're hoping to have more people join, and we did lose one of our, we didn't lose her, but she's moving on. Claire Daly served for the past 2 years, so she was delivering a lot of presentations as well, and she's from upstate New York, and she did a fabulous job for us, and I know God's going to do amazing things in her life as she changes chapters and moves on to another page. But for somehow some way we're able to do this work with just a small group of us, and God has been really good. And I feel like being able to do so many talks kind of has helped us to really be formed as speakers. So it's been kind of a blessing, because the more talks you do, the better you get at delivering these talks. So it's been a blessing as well to be able to have this experience for each of us, so that we can really be effective in evangelizing, and which is what's on our hearts to do. We're all very passionate about this message. So,
you know, the most haunting thing to me as a father of seven, grandfather of 10, is something you said in the first half hour, that a young lady, at least one, asked you in one of the schools when you were talking about chastity, is it too late to start over? And it was, to me, I found such hope in that statement, and such a recognition that for our kids today, even from good homes, that it's very difficult to fight this culture, isn't it?
It is. It is, especially whenever the devil is really good at making sin look glamorous and making Jesus look boring. So if there's, you know, for girls, it's the Cosmo world, right? Cosmopolitan makes sin look really normal and really glamorous. And that's what we're up against. So if we could just fight these, debunk these myths about the culture in that sense, and say, hey, that's going to be exhausting to try and, with the girls, I talk to them a lot about beauty and what authentic beauty is, and that's really been on my heart as I've been speaking to them this year, because it's a big, beauty is a big thing that girls struggle with, and the comparison that we have with one another. And I try and go in and tell them that the images that we're seeing of these women on the magazines or in the movies, that they're photoshopped and that they don't really look the way that they look. And if we could just get past that and realize that our identity as a daughter of God, that we are objectively beautiful just because he loves us, if we can realize that, then all of that anxiety about being this or that will flow away. So I think that there's an attraction to this because it's very liberating, as opposed to what the culture says you've got to go after, which is you have to look a certain way, act a certain way, behave a certain way, and that's just going to be exhausting. If you're really living that way, you're only going to be able to do that for so long before you just get exhausted. So I feel like we do have an advantage with the peace and the joy that the gospel offers.
Do you ever have kids raise their hand and ask if they can give a testimony, you know, that they're actually living this, or that they somehow have discovered that what you're saying is actually true and they can prove it because they've lived it?
That has not happened yet, but that would be awesome if it did happen. And I had the great privilege of being on a Theology of the Body retreat this past week, and I did meet a high school graduate from Lansdale Catholic High School who's going to Temple, and he's living this message out. And to see somebody that young living the virtue of chastity out is inspiring. So there needs to be more people like this young man that I met on this retreat this week that are willing to step up. And he even told me he wants to get into public speaking, so I'm hoping that it'll work out that he'll be able to do a little bit of speaking for us so that kids can see like somebody even closer to their age in college, because all of us are post-college. But I have not yet had somebody stand up and say, yes, I am living this, and here's X, Y, and Z. But now that you bring that up, maybe that'll happen.
So. You know, I'm thinking that the Newman Center at Temple, certainly there's a fine one at Penn, too, but the one at Temple is run by Father Sean Mahoney.
Yes, and I know him very well.
A marvelous priest, and my guess is that it's probably the biggest and most active Newman Center, certainly in the city and maybe, you know, up and down the East Coast, and that he may have many people, many young men and women who have come from the Catholic schools who might be able to pick up the phone and call the principal or the president, whatever it is, and make a phone call for Gen Life and you and the others and get you in, that he might be a very good contact because he could be a conduit to introductions to some of his Newman Center parishioners, if you will. What do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea, which brings me to my next point. If you are a campus minister, youth minister, and you guys are listening, a CCD teacher, a teacher at a grade school or at a high school, and you would like to bring this message into your classroom, please do not hesitate to pick up the phone and call us at 215-885-8760. Again, that's 215-885-8760. We would love to come speak to your students about these life-changing messages. And also we have Chastity Days coming up in April of next year, 2017. So it's 8th grade Chastity Days, and it's a two-hour-long multimedia presentation put on by us for 8th graders from the Philadelphia area, and we do skits. It's basically like a free day out of school. We do skits. We talk about chastity, pro-life, and we just make it a fun day for these kids to really be immersed in these messages. So that's coming up, too, and we will be sending out save the dates for that for Chastity Days in April. So be looking for that in the mail.
Well, all of us at In His Sign Network would urge you to please respond to Jacinta's appeal and make that phone call. Help in any way that you can. It really leads me to ask this question. How are you financed? How are you able to continue this work month after month?
So we are a nonprofit organization, and we are run solely on donations. So that's another shameless plug. If you would like to call and make a donation, you could go online to www.generationlife.org and click donate, and you can donate there. So we have monthly donors that are committed, and by donating, you're really sharing in this mission, and you're helping to spread the messages of life and love. So it's a beautiful way to be involved, because a lot of people have full-time jobs and they wish that they could do work like this, but by giving, you are a part of the mission. So that's another way that you can be involved.
Now, you mentioned you actually were founded about 15 years ago, and you mentioned Mike McMonagle, one of our great pro-life leaders, is one of the founders. Who else was involved in founding this wonderful organization?
So I believe it was Mike McMonagle, I think Pat Stanton, Molly Kelly, who is pretty much the start of chastity education, and somebody else, but his name is not coming up right now.
Mm-hmm. Was Mary Daly involved in that?
Yes, Mary Daly. She's our president, and she was definitely involved.
One of the great ladies, I have to tell you, one of the really, truly great ladies in this archdiocese and has been for many, many years. Molly Kelly, of course, a living saint among us. Mary Daly just gets so much done, so much good done, mm-hmm. behind the scenes, very quietly. Here we are about almost 50 minutes into the show, and her name just kind of pops up. But I can tell our listeners that she is an extraordinary woman. Her husband, Dennis, another just outstanding man. They're just great, great people. And it does not surprise me that this wonderful organization has been blessed, and it continues to bear fruit when you have people like Mary involved and Molly Kelly involved and Mike McMonagle mm-hmm. involved and Pat Stanton, another one of our Knights of the Immaculate, just an outstanding man in every respect. Just great people. They're warriors. They're out. And they, you know what impresses me about them, Jacinta, is that they have been in the vineyard in season mm-hmm. and out. Just times that are difficult, times that are hard, when it seems like all the work that they do bears very little, if any, fruit. And yet they've been faithful to it. And in my book, that makes them heroic. What they're doing is heroic.
It is. It is. And it's easy to give up whenever times are tough, but it's a greater sacrifice when we pull through whenever times are difficult, and it does bear fruit in the long run.
Well, you know, we have to always remember that when Christ was hanging on that cross at the bitter end mm-hmm. of his life, I know he knew better because he was divine as well as, fully human, but it would have had on a human scale the appearance of a total abject failure, that everything he lived for, all the work that he did, all the faith that and hope and prayer that he entrusted in his Heavenly Father and also in his disciples was all for naught, that the whole thing was mm-hmm. just going down in flames. And in that respect, he has to be, as always, our inspiration and our model for hope, doesn't he?
Yes, absolutely.
You have to tell our listeners how you came by way of Tulsa, Oklahoma, through Portland, Oregon, and St. Gregory's University to Philadelphia. How did that happen? What kind of influence did your home life have in the work that you've chosen to do?
Sure, I'll try and keep it short, as I know we only have 10 minutes left. So I was raised Catholic, obviously Catholic name, and went through the motions of my faith and was really affected by the media growing up, watched a lot of reality TV on MTV, and just wanted to, I thought that my happiness lied in what the culture would tell me would be happy, things that I would see on TV. I was the typical kid that lived in the culture, and I thought that that lifestyle was normal. So actually, whenever I came full on with my faith was when I was at the Art Institute of Portland in college. And my grandmother, who just passed away after the World Meeting of Families last year, who herself was not particularly living a full-on Catholic life, actually gave me a rosary and told me to pray it every day. And surprisingly so, I actually started praying it every day because I wasn't happy with the lifestyle that I was living. I was very not at peace. And by praying this rosary, I started having these thoughts of wanting to do God's will. Hmm. And I guess the rest is kind of history. I came back home and started working at this law firm because I had a background in law before. So I was working for a law firm and finishing up my degree. And interiorly, I really felt this call, like I wanted to do something for God and I wanted to work for the church, but I didn't know what that looked like. Now, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we have a good diocese, but we're only 4% Catholic. And me wanting to work for the church, I didn't have a whole lot of opportunity there. So what I did was I actually took this to prayer, because that's where you go when, you know, you don't know what else to do. So I have a devotion to Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower. And I actually prayed a 9-day novena to her. And my prayer was for a job in the church. And Saint Therese is known for showering you with roses whenever you pray a novena to her. So on the 9th day, I went to bed, and I actually had a dream that I was in a classroom, and somebody had put these roses on a podium in the classroom, and they said, "You're up, Jacinta, it's your time to speak." And then that was pretty much it for the dream. And I woke up, and like that day, I was like, am I supposed to be a chastity seeker? And I'm like, I've given God every other option, but not that. But I'm like, of course not that, because who thinks of becoming a chastity seeker? So that same month, I kind of forgot about the dream, and I was on CatholicJobs.com, and lo and behold, I see an ad for Generation Life as a chastity speaker. So I put my information out there, and I had been applying to a lot of places, but Generation Life was the only place that got back to me. I flew out to Philadelphia, interviewed, and then came back home, and then decided to take this huge leap of faith, drove 1,200 miles across the country, sacrificed my friends and family to do this work, and that's what I've been doing for a year and a half. So it's been a wild ride. It's been worth it, but the sacrifice is definitely there. And this job, nobody said it was easy, and it wouldn't be worth it if there wasn't a sacrifice in place and something to look forward to while going home. So there you have it.
What a sign of hope. What an extraordinary witness. From the beginning to the end, I mean, not just growing up in a good family, but having a grandmother that was not practicing, perhaps, hand you a rosary at just the right moment in your journey, and you took it, and because of the life, the family life that you had been introduced to in your own home, began to pray the rosary. And as we all know, and all the saints tell us, that Our Lady only and always leads us to Jesus.
She does, yes.
And that stirred something in you. And of course, the great saint of our time, the greatest of the great saints of our time, Teresa of Lisieux, you begin praying that novena to her. You get the indication, you get the flowers at the end of it. And then lo and behold, a period of time goes by, and all of a sudden, you're led to, a posting on a website for a job that's 1,200 miles away.
Right.
You end up, you know, getting a call for an interview and getting in a car and driving 1,200 miles and then signing on for a job that offers you very little by way of material blessing. Only the stiffest and most difficult of challenges and dare I say, privations in every sense. And yet, you've found a measure, if not a full measure, of peace in this work. I mean, it's just extraordinary.
Right. God is amazing. That's all I can say. It's not by me. It's by His strength. And He gets all the glory, because I definitely wouldn't have been as courageous as, you know, you're repeating this back to me, and I'm like, oh, I guess that is a big deal. So it's all I can say is that it's all by His grace.
Well, you know, Teresa Lisieux famously said quote, everything is grace, end quote.
Yes. And
isn't that the most powerful three-word statement and prayer and prophetic utterance of our time? It is so true. Every single ounce of grace is more precious than tons of gold, is it not?
Yes, amen. And she also has another quote that I love, where she says, God does not inspire us to do what cannot be done. So if He's putting it on your heart to do something and you're like, oh my gosh, that's crazy, let God surprise you, because He is full of surprises.
Well, how can we help you? How can In His Sign Network and our recourse help you attract more wonderful young people like yourself, Jacinta and Mary Boyce and the others, so that this work can multiply and yield a hundredfold fruit in this archdiocese?
Right. Well, you could donate. That's always a good way, by keeping us going with through that, and by inviting us into the classrooms, word of mouth, or by, it's always by word of mouth, young people telling other young people, and it's really all about networking, and it's all who you know as well. So anyway, donating and word of mouth and having us on your show like you so astutely did today, that really helps to get this message out. The more people are exposed to it, the more they're aware that we are alive and generating.
Alive and generating. Yeah,
it's, no pun intended.
It's the ultimate generation of life, isn't it? The word itself.
Yeah.
The great St. Maximian Kolbe used to, he once famously said that all of the mystical laws, all the natural laws follow the mystical laws. There is stimulus and response in the mystical, in the natural order of things, and it springs from what is mystically the order of things. The word goes out. It goes from the Father through the Son, out through the relationship of the Holy Spirit with the Immaculate into the world, and it must come back having performed the work that was its intention. So if you're preaching the Word of God and you're bringing this great truth that we're all created in the image and likeness of God, and that we ought look at how God incarnated himself and how he behaved when he was among us, and we ought imitate that. We're all called to imitate Christ. So when we're preaching that and evangelizing that, as you are, Jacinta, and your friends at Gen Life, that word must bear a fruit. It may not be immediate, but it will ultimately bear a fruit, because these kids in these classrooms have to be storing. This is truth. They're not getting it everywhere. And when it comes, it has to be a very precious seed that finds a home in their own souls, don't you think?
Right, I do. And I hope that's what we're doing, is being that seed planter in their lives. And was it the gospel this week was talking about the different soils? Was that this past week?
It was a couple weeks ago, but you're
okay.
Right. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold.
We hope that the soil is nice and soft so that we can plant seeds there. But if it's rocky too, hopefully a couple of them will stick.
Well, you never know. Obviously, your work depends to some degree on the vitality of the faith in the home. And you hope that if the child is in the Catholic school, it's because there is faith in the home, and there's a desire on the part of the father and mother for the child to absorb the faith and to be able to live the faith and to be able to make the good choices in his or her life. So we just need more good Catholic families raising children, wanting to pass on the traditions of the faith, but more importantly, the life and the vitality of the faith, so that the church can be renewed, and it can only be renewed through families.
And, hopefully Pope Francis being here for the world, I say hopefully, but I know that him coming to Philadelphia for the world meeting of families is a great start or a great reigniter for the family being fully alive. And hopefully that starts in Philadelphia. And this is a great place to be to share these messages, to promote the family fully alive. And we hope that that's what will happen.
Well, Jacinta, you're a wonderful, wonderful witness and missionary for that. We're going to close with Archbishop Chaput's famous quote about there'll be no renewal of America without renewal of the Catholic Church, and no renewal of the Catholic Church without renewal of the Catholic family, and no renewal of the Catholic family without the bold proclamation regarding the sacred transmission of human life. That's what you're doing. That's what Gen Life does. And may God bless your work. And Jacinta, thank you, and we hope you'll come back. Will you?
Thank you. I hope so. Yes, absolutely.
Thanks very much for all of you who are listening. We ask you, please, to keep Gen Life and its wonderful work and young people in your prayers, and also to keep In His Sign Network as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
sponsors, and to Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign Catholic Radio for bringing this show into your homes and cars. Please remember In His Sign Catholic Radio in your prayers and charitable contributions so we can continue to offer authentic Catholic programming 2 hours every day, 5 days a week. We can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com. Join us next week at this same time for another edition of Our Recourse with Brian Gale.
Follow in a day with the troops who are escorting your daughter home from the convent school.
Oh, yes, Dimpfler. I'd forgotten. Oh, this head of mine.
Niall, you're